We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Let's get right to Sal and to more of your phone calls as well. Sal is with us on the Wester Hotline. He is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? His Arrow Down, Arrow Up column is also available for you to read at WGR550.com. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
2 weeks in a row, we're kind of looking for ups, huh? Were there any obvious Arrow Ups for
you? Yeah, I had a few. I'm sorry, what did you say, Jeremy?
Just, if you had any ups, like who stood out as ups before we get to the lengthy list?
Okay,
of
Yeah, I put a few Arrow Ups. One of them was Corey Bohorquez. I would keep doing that, and the punt coverage. Bohorquez punted the ball really well, actually. Four punts, all inside the four, and the punt coverage. Mecole Hardman had two punt returns, totaling 1 yard. I thought Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley made nice catches and bailed, you know, the offense out a couple of times. I thought they played well, even though the offense as a whole, and they did, their numbers weren't spectacular. I thought they played okay and played pretty well. The team committed no penalties through three quarters. That was good. They did a good job limiting Tyreek Hill and his impact in the game. And I had Mario Addison. I thought he actually played well. He had a nice stat line at the end of the day. But that was about it. I was stretching. I was searching. There's no doubt about that. But you know, there's always something that stands out that, you know, looks to be pretty good, even amidst all the bad.
Yeah. So you know, one of the things about the Tennessee game was, I think Steve Tasker talked about this a lot during the week, and I wonder about Sean McDermott's approach to it. There are games where you feel like you play well and you lose, and maybe those hurt. And then there are games where you play poorly and you lose, and it's kind of a different feeling. I don't know what this Bills offense or this Bills defense are feeling right now based on 2 weeks in a row of, I don't know, is getting pushed around the right way to say it? Like a big picture. This team got pushed around by two very good teams, of course, but still, it would. I think Bills fans would have wanted things to be more competitive the last 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't think they played well last night in a lot of areas, obviously. You know, one thing that, you know, maybe you guys have touched on, I'm not sure. Like, I think watching the game, understanding the personnel they were using, this goes back to even the decisions made before the game and how they wanted to play the game. I think they were willing to sacrifice a little bit on the ground and to basically keep everything underneath. You know what I think they did, Jeremy? I think they went into the game with the same philosophy that the Titans had against the Bills the week before. The difference was the Bills couldn't take advantage of that. They couldn't run the ball very well against the Titans, and you know they made mistakes. The Chiefs did. They just said, okay, fine. If you want to take away the big play, if you want to take away our passing game and not let Patrick Mahomes beat you, we'll just beat you on the ground. And it wasn't just the volume of, you know, looking at over 200 yards given up. It was chunk plays on the ground. I mean, like third and long, second and long, and you're just grinding it out. So I think if you look philosophically, okay, if that was the plan where, hey, we're gonna sacrifice a little bit on the ground, we understand that, but we're gonna do it at the expense of making sure they cannot throw it over the top. We're gonna make them work for everything they get. If you look at it from that way, you know, they did a good job on one side of it, which was the passing game didn't hurt them, but it didn't need to hurt them because they just ran the ball so well that it didn't matter, I guess.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you could have that philosophy. Okay, fine. Right? But at some point, you still need your defense to make a stop, whether it's run stops
100%.
Or a third and six, break up a pass stop or any of that stuff.
Yep.
And the philosophy ends up being flawed because you couldn't get off the field. And they're converting third down runs. Or like I said, if it's a third and medium to long pass, they're hitting that. So, you know, it, all well and good, but you're still trusting and needing your defense to get them off the field, and they couldn't do it. You talked about third down defense yesterday before the game, and it was horrible last night.
It's been bad all year. The Bills came into the game as the third worst defensive unit in the league on third down against, and they were worse than that. If you combine, and I did this, if you combine third down and fourth down combined, because it was one fourth down they even went for, 10 of 15, or I think that was the number, right? 10 of 15, I wrote it down here. 10 of 15.
Yeah, it was 9 of 14.
They were 9 of
14
on third down, and then 1-1 on fourth down, 66.7%. That's, you know, it's just, you can't allow that to happen. And again, it wasn't just the third down conversions, Howard. It was long third down conversions at times, too. And it was, it was kind of a reverse here. The Bills' defense, sometimes, you know, they put them in a second and long. You're like, okay. Now, I know they had some nice first down runs and things, but there were times where it's like second and long. Okay, what can you do? And then suddenly it's third and short or it's first down, and it didn't matter. On the offensive side, the Bills were in third and long all night. They just could not get yards on first or second down. You know, we haven't even talked about the quarterback. He didn't play very well. But, yeah, it wasn't just the numbers that you see at the end of the game in the game book. It was how they came, and in big chunks, they were just eating them up on the ground all night long. Big yardage here or there. It seemed like every single run was going for 8, 10, 12 yards.
Let's get some calls in here as well. We do have a couple lines open if you want to get in. 803-0550 and share your comments, opinions, or questions you might have with Sal with us here. Let's go to Bakari next. Bakari, thanks for holding on. And you're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think that first I got a question. Do you think we're going to get bring in any new players for our defensive line? Because it looks like we need an edge rusher and a D tackle really bad. And to me, the game looked just like the Tennessee game, to where it was the same philosophy, and we can't stop the run. And so our secondary is exposed because the guys have all day to throw the ball. I don't think our secondary is playing horribly bad. I think it's more that our defensive line can't get anything going. And I think we need to start upgrading now, because this is the first time in a long time it looks like we have a chance to do something in the season, like go to the playoffs. I think it's a very critical time that we go out and get some linemen to help out on that defensive line. And it just seems like it's the same game I watched with Tennessee. Same game. They ran like 7 times in a row. We couldn't stop it. And it looks like Josh Allen is confused with the zone. You know, I don't know. I will hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Well, I mean, if you want to make moves like that, and I understand that, where are you going to get those players, and what are you going to give up? Because they're not sitting there on the street. You know, if you're going to talk about bringing players in, there's no free agents out there that are magic bullets. If you want to make a trade, I understand it. And sure, go ahead. Tell me who you're trading for and what team is going to trade with you and what you're going to give up. I mean, that's always the question. The trade deadline is 2 weeks from today. You know, they can do that. It's election day. That's the trade deadline. And I think that's 2 weeks from today, right, guys? It's Tuesday. Yeah. I mean, I'm all screwed up on my days now because of what happened the last couple of weeks. But, you know, so yeah, if you want to do that, you know, sure. And I'm sure Brandon Bean is at least making calls, fielding calls, listening. That's what general managers do. That's his job. He's always going to be doing that. So I just don't know where the answer comes from, other than making a move and giving up assets, which is fine if you want to do that. I just don't know, you know, who's going to be available out there. And as far as Josh is concerned, yeah, I thought that he was confused again at times last night. I'm not sure. I haven't gone back and, you know, really dug into, you know, why that would be. But he missed some throws and looked like he didn't diagnose things real quick enough at the line of scrimmage. And that's concerning. You know, he had been doing that, I thought, pretty well the first few weeks. But maybe teams have seen ways that they can kind of get to him a little bit, rattle him, make him think a little bit too much at the line of scrimmage. And he has to now kind of reset and fight through that, because physically he missed some throws. But I thought he also didn't notice some things he should have early on before the snap even.
Get to your calls again here at 803-0550. Rich, thanks for holding on. You're on WGR with Sal. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. There was I knew it was going to be a strange game when on the opening drive, Jack throws a bad ball on first down, throws another bad ball on second down. And now on third, Snell throws a perfect strike to Brown, and he tries to catch it with his face. Now,
I think he fell, right?
Yeah, he fell down. He wasn't trying to catch it with his face.
He fell, you know.
I understand. I'm being sarcastic.
Okay.
That first down could have worked. Not that that was
well, you know, we have seen balls stick in the face mask, but I think that's more for the young. But that's for those little balls I use with my son. But go ahead. Sorry about that.
Right. But then the bad penalties. I understand that's frustration. Not acceptable. Pushing guys out of bounds when they're way out of bounds. But I'm going to tell you what. Sal, this play infuriated me the most. Howard, you touched on that quarterback sneak play. Well, the Bills rushed up to the line of scrimmage, and Josh had a wait for Diggs to walk back to the line of scrimmage. And by the way, that flag was not offside. That was an illegal formation. That infuriated me. That's all I got.
I haven't gone back and seen the actual penalty yet. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, he was kind of walking back to the line of scrimmage, and he wasn't set long enough.
And that's what was called, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I guess you'd have to know if this is not an excuse for him to do that. By the way, I'm just going to say I think that you have to know. Did they call two plays in the huddle? Say if we don't get this, get right back up to the line. Because if that's the case, then you know you got to hustle your butt back because you know that. Or was it okay? We didn't get it, and then suddenly Dable's screaming, "Go, Josh, go! Just get him back to the line, right?" And I don't know. So I'd have to go back. But yeah, I mean, you never want to see that. There's no doubt. And then they got stopped, and then it was. I think they got a break on that, right? Because they got to punt the ball when they're actually stopped in that situation.
Let's see where we're going next. Sorry. Sean, I believe, is where we're going next. No. How about John and West Seneca? I guess is where we're going next. Go ahead, John. Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So I didn't mind the defensive game plan. I know that the run defense was still pretty bad, but I just feel like if we would have blitzed and just told Mahomes to beat us, I mean, he's passing for over 400 yards. So, I mean, I'll take my medicine there, and we know our defensive line isn't that good to begin with. If you would have told us that Kansas City's only going to score 26 points, I mean, I think everyone here is going to say, okay, I'll take that. So I think that comes down to the offense. I'm not completely panicking yet. I think the Jets game is going to be a good game to bounce back. And if Josh and them still struggle against New England, I know that's a tall task, but I think that's when you need to start sounding the alarm. Second, I know this is kind of a doomsday thing to say, but if we don't win our division, it's going to be hard to make the playoffs. I mean, you look at that AFC North, you have Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Baltimore. And I know Cleveland's gotten exposed, but they have a very easy schedule to look at. So, I mean, that's two wild card teams, plus from the division winner. So if you don't win the division, if New England or Miami does something, you really only have one playoff wild card spot to play with. Thirdly, do you know if Trey White and Jordan Poyer said anything about those late hits? Because that's just inexcusable, especially with this quote-unquote culture that we're doing, no discipline. I mean, not no discipline. But discipline, no nonsense kind of stuff. So I'm just wondering if...
Well, I don't remember. I don't know if either of them spoke after the game. I know Sean McDermott did. I was on that Zoom call. And, he obviously, that's not something that he... I don't remember the exact wording he used, but he was disappointed into it in a way, I guess. You know what I mean? He would say the same thing, that it's just, you know, you can't have those kinds of penalties. I don't know if frustration got to them or what happened, but you can't have that. For three quarters, the Bills had no penalties at all. And then in two big spots, you know, they committed those penalties with Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer on the sidelines. You just can't have that. There's no doubt about it. So, no, I don't know. I have to look and see if either one of them spoke, because there's different Zoom calls going on at the same time after the game. But I want to go back to what you said a little while ago, a couple things. Standings-wise, you're right. And, by the way, those teams in the NFC North, speaking of schedules, they play, their crossover is the NFC East. Yeah. The teams in the AFC North, is the NFC East. The NFC East is so bad. The leading team in the division is 2-4, the Dallas Cowboys. All the teams in the North in the AFC play those teams. So, yeah, their schedules are going to be ripe for them picking off those wild card spots. There are seven teams that make the playoffs, let's remember. But then let's go back to what you said about the defensive philosophy. You know, guys, it's funny. Yesterday, I took a call during the Extra Point show. And a caller, he brought it up, I don't know in the context of, I can't remember if it was the context of the Bills offense or defense or what it was. But I actually said to him, I said, hey, do you know what Bill Belichick did in Super Bowl 25? He's kind of famous for it. It was in his book. You know what I'm going to say, right, Howard?
Yeah.
Which
is
Jeremy brought it up earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And I said this to the caller. I said, yeah, he told his defense, we need to let Thurman Thomas run for 100 yards. And they were like revolting. Like, what do you mean? We've never let up a 100-yard rusher this whole year. And he's like, well, if they do that, then they can't throw it over the top of us because we're keeping everything in front. It's going to grind the clock down, run the clock down. We'll kind of use their own offense against themselves.
Yep.
And I think the Bills kind of sort of did the same thing yesterday, right? And you guys, that means you probably talked about this and you agree, I guess, because that was kind of the philosophy. The difference was, though, that the Chiefs just ran way too many plays and too much and too many yards and big chunks. That cannot be part of the plan when you're going to do that, obviously.
So they ran 23 more offensive plays.
One of the ways to make sure that doesn't happen is to score.
Yeah.
If the Chiefs felt the need to score more than they felt the need to kill the game, then your plan might work a little bit. They got the lead, and you couldn't do anything on offense, so they thought, well, let's just keep running the ball.
Yep.
The numbers on this are that Patrick Mahomes averages 8.4 yards per passing attempt for his career. So if the Chiefs average 6 yards per run, you're doing better. You know, like, it's tough. Like, I get that. I can't decide if that is definitely how I want to play Mahomes. What's the alternative, Sal? Say, fine, let's get into a shootout with him?
Right.
And if you decide to get in a shootout with him, you know, the problem remains the offense. Your offense didn't do much. So I think it's a tough call for McDermott in, like, the overall game plan. What do you want to do? But, you know, at the end of the day.
He was asked, by the way, Jeremy, he was asked after the game, did you consider putting 9 men in the box, you know? And he said, his answer was, if you see teams do that against the Kansas City Chiefs, it results in 40 points on the board. That's what he said.
I think he felt, guys, if this scenario plays out, we're not going to blitz, we're going to rush 3 or 4, we're going to drop these guys in coverage, we're going to sacrifice the run, we're going to keep our guys back, he's not going to throw for a gazillion yards, and we'll keep the game close, and I'll trust my offense to be able to score enough, 28, 27, 27, 24, whatever it might be, if you can keep them under 30, I'll trust my offense to win a close game, and in his thinking, with 6.5 minutes to go, that's exactly how it played out. It's 23-17,
right?
But your defense can't get stops in the fourth quarter to finish it off, or your offense had one good drive the whole night.
I mean, look, if that fumble counts, right?
I mean, you're at the 30-35 yard line,
or if you stop the 3rd and 12,
yep,
yes,
you have
the
ball
with
a chance to take the lead,
right?
That's exactly right. As poor as they played all night, really, you could say that, right? I guess as poor. The run defense, the offense wasn't looking good, the run defense, all that kind of stuff. If one of those two things happen, it actually worked out exactly the way you kind of wanted the whole game, which is don't let them get, you know, a big number on the board. Don't let them have big plays and just keep this thing close. Yeah. And we're going to win it at the end of the game because we're not going to get into a shootout. But the way that they tried to not get into a shootout wasn't because they tried to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. That's what everybody says when you go against them. Well, keep him off the field. Don't get into a shootout with him. Well, they didn't want to get in a shootout, but it wasn't by keeping their offense off the field. It was keeping their offense on the field. So they didn't score quickly.
Yeah. And they didn't, but they had a bunch of long drives and they got three touchdowns on the game, and all three were long scoring drives.
Can I get to my stat of the day, Howard?
Yes. Wait, hang on a second. Yeah, hold on.
I want to ask Sal about this.
Brought to you by Skyworks, the official equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills.
So, Sal, last year, Devin Singletary and the Bills, they ran the ball pretty effectively. He had 5.1 yards per carry. He had the lowest percentage of 8-man boxes in the league last year. This year, he has an even lower percentage of 8-man boxes, 1.4%. The Bills are dictating the personnel matchups they want in the run game, and he's at 3.8 yards per carry. So what is going on, and how do they fix that? We know he can be a serviceable running back. The line issues are this bad that even in favorable personnel number situations, they're not good enough.
Yeah, look, it's hard to say, like, who you're going to blame it on. Singletary, the offensive line, everybody wants to assign blame. Of course, they all have blame in some way, shape, or form. Maybe Devin Singletary's not hitting a certain hole here or there. But I will tell you, I don't think the offensive line is blocking very well in the run game. And I think that it always seems like there's one person missing a block. They're not sustaining long enough. It just seems like there's always that one either guy that has to be made miss extra that, you know, throws off the timing, or someone that gets to the hole. But I don't think they blocked very well in the run game. I think they missed John Feliciano. You know, and he's not, again, let's go back to what we said about the D-line. It's not like a magic bullet, but I think it allows the defense to play, or the offense to play better and work better just because of the type of player he is. I don't think Cody Ford's played really exceptionally well this year. I thought left guard was his best spot, actually, where he's been the last few weeks. So he's played better. But, you know, and again, I don't want to go through each guy necessarily say, like, he's played well or not. But I just think as a unit, the offensive line has not blocked very well in the run game.
Sal, we'll see you in 2.5 hours.
I'll be there, guys. Thanks.
Extra Point Show again for Sal today, taking your calls from 10 to noon. And if you'd like to read his Arrow Down, Arrow Up column, lots of Arrow Downs, Arrow Up portion won't take a long time to read. It is available at WGR550.com. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get to more of your calls.
Let's get to more about that. The point about how the Bills' strategy was to do what they did on defense.
Yeah,
needed the offense to score.
That was part of the frustration to me too, Jeremy, that the game was there for the taking first off. But the point you just made about the Bills' philosophy, well, how did Kansas City do the same thing? We're not going to give up big pass plays, one play, 20-plus. How do they do that and stuff the run? Like, they did both, right? They weren't going to let Josh beat them deep, and they were good at that. And the Bills did the same thing with Mahomes, and they ran for 245 yards. Kansas City's defense took away both. They stuffed the run, and they didn't give up pass plays downfield. How? Why were they successful, and the Bills were bad? Why didn't you have a more successful run again? The running backs had 15 carries for 42 yards last night.
I mean, Mahomes said it on the post game with Aaron Andrews. Basically, they're going to do that. We're going to just run it.
Yeah,
the Bills asked the Chiefs to run. The Chiefs said okay.
Yeah.
And it was closer than it would have been if the Bills had, you know, rolled out their regular defense, I guess, because they don't have the horses now to go up there and try and shut down Mahomes. So the way to shut him down is to convince him to hand it off.
Right.
And it worked.
Which they did, right.
And they couldn't answer.
More of your calls coming up in a moment. We got some lines that have opened up. We were getting, if you got busy signals, call us now. And we'll get you in the next segment. 803-0550 to join us. It is Bills Football Tuesday on WGR, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The snap. Josh Allen, play fake, looks to the end zone, rolling to his right, looks, fires down in the side of the end zone, and it is touchdown! A touchdown pass! Stephon Diggs somehow brought it in.
So that was one of the few highlights of the night. Nice play by Josh Allen throwing into a rather tight window. And a very nice job of Stephon Diggs of making the catch and keeping his feet in bounds. The Bills, of course, end up losing to Kansas City. 26-17. The Chiefs are 5-1. The Bills are 4-2. We're going to get to more of your calls in a moment. The second game of the Monday Night Football doubleheader, Arizona blew out Dallas 38-10. Three touchdowns for Kyler Murray in his return to his home state. And the Cowboys fall to 2-4 and still lead the NFC East. Key injuries, fantasy players. Miles Sanders, Eagles running back. He's going to miss a week or two with a knee. Zach Ertz could be out up to a month. Raheem Mostert, running back San Francisco, probably going on injured reserve with a high ankle sprain, so he would miss at least three games. Cleveland tight end David Njoku has reportedly requested a trade. Bills play the Jets next. Who's at quarterback for them? Don't know. Adam Gase said yesterday he's still not sure if Sam Darnold will be available for this game. He's missed the last two with an injury. And Joe Flacco has started. Mike Emmerich, hockey announcer, retires. And the World Series opens tonight. The Dodgers and the Rays have an 8 o'clock start. Those are your headlines, our highlights from the game, by the way. Brought to you by the Stam Law Firm. Let our family protect your family. Visit stamlaw.com. And a reminder to everybody before we get to the next thing. Election Day 2020 is quickly approaching. Are you registered and ready to vote? Early voting begins October 24th. Absentee ballots must be requested by October 27th. Complete details at elections.erie.gov. Vote. Make it count and get more info at vote411.org. Okay, now you're caught up on all the announcements.
Yeah, one other quick thing in headlines. I got guillotined.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
You know, if I'd known that the plan was going to be for the Chiefs to never throw it, then maybe Tyreek Hill would not have been in my lineup.
Ooh, not a good night for you with Tyreek.
No.
What, do you have two catches?
But the good thing about a guillotine league is now, you know, you're out, but she's thinking like, well, I mean, the stress of that league is gone.
Yeah, so
I don't have to think about it anymore.
How many other leagues are you alive in?
Five.
Ah, yeah. So your stress is
but only
definitely
one more guillotine, you know.
Okay. So really, it's just you're pretty much stress free from here.
Six
on
was
out.
A bit much. I'm actually okay with being down to five. Yeah.
All right. It is Bills Football Tuesday. Let's take more of your phone calls. 803-0550. Daryl, thanks for holding on. Welcome to WGR. Go right ahead, sir. Daryl, sorry. Go ahead, Daryl. You're on the air.
Hey. Yeah. Good morning, guys. Love the show. Thanks for all you guys do. Hey, it's 2020. We're 4-2. It's not the end of the world. But my question was, why the heck didn't we go for two after the second touchdown? I mean, it's 23-17. Would have put it 23-18. You had to assume Kansas City was going to score. If it's 26-18, we got the ball with 2 minutes left. At least we had no business winning, but we would have maybe had a chance. So I'll just listen. Thanks for all you guys do.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, drive. Thanks.
Also, yeah, we forgot to bring that up yet today. So thanks for
thanks for bringing up this point. I had someone write this to me about, you know, should they have gone for two there? And was it Jake?
Daryl called it.
Okay, Jacob was the guy. Okay, sorry. Jacob was the one that wrote this in. Yeah, I guess you could, if you're playing game theory, you're thinking like, okay, they're going to move the ball. Let's get it. Let's get two here so when they kick the field goal, it's still a one-possession game. That's the plan. Because, right, I have the math right
there?
Yeah,
no, it's because it would have been 26, if they get the field goal, it's 26-18, so it's still a one-possession game.
Right. But the normal football math, I think, that you're thinking is, okay, score, kick, get it back, score, kick, and you win 24-23.
Right.
Do you ever want to plan for your defense giving up yards and points? I mean, football coaches don't generally like to do that, but you really might want to. I think there is a case to be made for it, sure. And if you don't get the two, it's 23-16, and you're still in decent shape.
That to me, that's the key right there. It's still only a one possession game. If you fail on the 2-point try, if not, you know, I know that right. Coaches, you've got to take that into account. I mean, Romeo Crennel believes in his defense, but he went for two the other day in Tennessee, so he knows he puts the game away with that. They don't get it. He trusts now his defense has to come up with a stop. They don't. They lose in overtime, but he goes for the win. I think you have to go for two there because in the event that you do give up a field goal, which you did, by the way, and you just gave up scores on the previous two drives, you know you're out. I mean, it's a 9-point game. You're not scoring on two drives in the final however many minutes were left at that point, 6.5, whatever it was. So, yeah, I think you should have gone for two. And McDermott was asked about it in the post-game press conference, and he didn't really want to get into second-guessing himself. He said something about how I can't talk crystal ball or something like that. Let's see. Daryl, thanks. We're going to John next here on Bills Football Tuesday. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Actually, a point about the last caller, which actually I love Sean McDermott, but I think McDermott's still more on that conservative end for coaching, as we've all seen a little bit lately. But anyway, to my point, I was talking about the healthy scratches we had to Trent Murphy and Phillips. And, you know, I know we like to be, you know, keep them in line and everything. You know, you got to play better, like that kind of move to maybe try to amp people up. But it kind of looks really bad when it backfires and you get pretty much just destroyed on the line. And, I mean, regardless if they were playing well or not before, you pretty much held what is a massive specimen of King Henry to like 40 or 50 yards. Or it was under 100 at least, but it wasn't that many. And then, you know, you thought, well, that actually wasn't so bad. And then you bench these two guys, and then you get destroyed by Edwards-Helaire, which, I mean, he's a good prospect, but he's not King Henry. And, you know, I like Espinoza, you know, however his name. You know, he's got to work. He's got to get bigger, you know, even though he looks more like a 3-4 linebacker than really a defensive end. But I think it wasn't really a good look to play the reigning Super Bowl champion and bench two of your starting linemen, regardless if they weren't playing well, you know. And then another thing I've noticed was that it seems like, you know, you guys have noticed too, it seemed like the Bills' defensive line is very small compared to a lot of lines in the NFL on defense, and very small compared to the Chiefs' line. I'm not sure if that played into it because they were just getting manhandled. I know we're built for the pass, but, you know, if you can't pass rush or stop the run, it, you know, it's kind of bad. So that's kind of what I kind of want to bring up. It just seems like we're a little undersized, it really looks like, in that unit. And it kind of looks like we lost our identity with the defense this year. So that's it. But I'll let you guys continue. Thank you.
Well, I think they scratched the two guys they scratched as part of their overall philosophy of how they were approaching this game last night. Although it is odd if you think we're not going to stop the run. Trent Murphy has not really done anything this season, so whatever. But I think if you are going to say we're going to let him run the ball, we're going to just try and get some pressure, I would have dressed Murphy. I mean, it's not like Trent Murphy's out there to be part of your run defense. If he does anything, it's getting to the quarterback. Again, albeit he really hasn't done that this season. He's not played well at all to this point. What was the other – trying to think the other points. Well, you know what? They were manhandled in the Vegas game. Honestly, I don't know that the run defense was manhandled. They just didn't have – I mean, they didn't put guys in the box. They had guys playing back. And once you cleared the defensive line, there was room to run.
Yeah. Well, you know, like McDermott, I asked you yesterday how much pressure is there on McDermott to perform here defensively, right? Like, find a plan.
Yeah.
And when we watch the Bills play Tom Brady through McDermott's time here, we've seen Brady not look great. At times he would look confused, like coverages would confuse him, and maybe it's because they had better personnel, of course, and better pressure. But right now, the defense does have the look of a unit that that McDermott's just kind of looking for answers, right? Mm-hmm. You're just looking for anything.
Well, what do they do well right now?
Nothing.
I think that's part of the problem.
Right?
I knew that. I was hoping you were going to answer that.
I shouldn't say nothing because there's probably something, but like the knee-jerk reaction to that question is nothing.
Nothing.
And that's like, for me, the biggest point of frustration, you can talk about stopping the run. I'm more worried about ever getting to the quarterback, ever, in any circumstance. Like,
right.
I know they have a couple of sacks, sure. But the going into this game, they were at the lowest pressure rate in the NFL. Now, is that because, you know, they're playing quarterbacks that are getting the ball out? Maybe. They got to Derek Carr and forced a couple turnovers, and good thing they did, or else they might have lost that game. The only way it seems that they can make stops in the last 3 weeks is by taking the ball from the quarterback because, you know, the defense doesn't force a lot of punts. And, you know, it kind of swings both ways when we say punts are turnovers, right? Like, I talk about that for the offense. Well, time to talk about that for the defense. Punts are turnovers. You can talk about wanting to get picks and get fumbles, but it is getting off the field. Make the other team give the ball back to you. Make them punt.
Right.
And they're just not getting enough of those, because turnovers, like that Raider game maybe should have been a warning sign, because getting the quarterback to fumble, how many turnovers they get down the stretch in the Raiders game, like two or three in the second half?
I think two. I'd got to double
two,
check.
Okay, they force two fumbles and recover them. Like, you probably can't count on that each and every week. What you can count on is stops, making stops and getting punts. So I have the feeling that, like, McDermott is just looking for answers. And while I still do think they are a good team and their offense has a lot of good pieces, and next week they'll win by 20 points and we'll feel a lot better, and they'll roll into that New England game and it'll be a big one, right? That'll be where we really talk about an identity crisis, because it's not the Titans, who were in the AFC Championship game, or the Chiefs, who won the Super Bowl. It'll be New England, who has always had your number, and you're supposed to finally get by this time.
I think the identity of this, so the caller made the point about the identity of the defense. It doesn't have one. The identity of this team is their offense, which is why last night was frustrating, because say what you want about the plan. You didn't like it. You did like it. Whatever. The offense had 17 points. The game was there for the taking. They couldn't score for whatever reason. And some of it is because the defense didn't get off the field. But what does the defense do well? Do they get sacks? Nope. Do they get a bunch of takeaways? Nope. Do they stuff the run? Nope. Do they generate pressure with four? Nope. Do they generate pressure with blitzes? Nope. The one thing they do, which they always have done under McDermott, is they don't give up a ton of big pass plays. And they didn't last night. But they don't get off the field on third down. I don't know if I mentioned that the first time through. If I didn't, add that to the list. And now we're talking about, you know, they're having coverage issues in the secondary. And the middle of the field has been very vulnerable for the Bills' defense this year. There's just nothing you could point to. And you say, I mean, they have, through the 4-0 start, they were getting timely stops. Okay, they weren't totally shutting anybody down, really. But they were getting some key stops or takeaways in the Raiders game, in the Rams game. I don't know, maybe they got one key stop in the second half. It's a blur. But there is no identifiable part to their defense, but they also aren't excelling in any one particular area in this defense, and that's frustrating to watch. There isn't one group where you'd look at defensive line, linebackers, corners, safeties, even the safeties. I mean, Poyer and Hyde, you know, are they making game-changing plays at all? There's not one position group on the defensive side of the ball that you'd look at and not have multiple questions and scratch your head and said, what the heck is going on? Milano's injury hurts. Of course it does. Where's Edmonds? Like, maybe it's all the injury. I don't know. But and maybe it is he's hurt guys and he's not getting off blocks. But he's also making wrong reads. On the 4th-and-1 touchdown, where the heck is he? He's plugged up in the middle and the play bounces outside and there's nobody out there. I mean, he's not around the ball. He's not making plays. And it's even more evident when Milano's not out there. It's even more glaring when you say, Jermaine, need you to come up big. It's not coming from A.J. Klein. And Tyrell Dotson got hurt last night and Edmonds isn't coming through for this defense. So there, and I'm not blaming just him, Jeremy. I mean, like I said, who's playing really well? And what are they doing exceptionally well at this point? And the answer is nothing. They're carried by their offense. And when the offense has a bad night, like it did last night, maybe you can probably get away with it. Well, you wouldn't have a bad night playing the Jets. Anyway, my point is, if you're going to have a bad night, it's tough for this team to win football games. They're relying on their offense, and especially when you play really good teams like Kansas City and Tennessee the last two games. Offense has to be much better against New England in 2 weeks. You know, assuming they beat the Jets, and I think they will. If they don't, I'm just not coming into work, by the way. 803-0550. We'll get a break in. It is Bills Football Tuesday. Hey, if you're on hold, hang on. We've got open segments for the next couple segments, so we get a chance to talk to all of you. Bills Football Tuesday is presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Jeremy White here for the Buffalo Store, the place to get everything you need if you still like Buffalo. Of course we do. Whether that's Bills merchandise, Sabres Royal Blue gear, or just general Buffalo-themed stuff, the Buffalo Store's got it for you, including the Crucial Catch merchandise, the NFL's Crucial Catch. You saw the hats players wearing last night. If you like that other color scheme, available at the Buffalo Store. They sell Buffalo-themed masks to show your support for the city or favorite player. Number 17, that's in store right now. Allen Diggs 2020 lawn signs. They go quick. Stop in and grab yours at the Buffalo Store. And with the holidays right around the corner, perfect time to start checking off those lists with the items you can get there. Unique decor, clothes, much more. Very popular for fall and winter. They've got the Buffalo Check. That's a plaid style, branded with a buffalo, of course. Blankets and apparel, Buffalo-branded Yeti tumblers as well, local food favorites, signs, chicken wing socks, anything Buffalo is going to be there. So if you're looking for any of that, and again, official merchandise of the Buffalo Bills, you can find that as well. Visit any of their 5 locations or go online to bfloshop.com. Shop Buffalo local at the Buffalo Store, the official retailer of the Buffalo Bills.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The objective in this league is to win ball games. The Buffalo Bills don't go out there to try to keep close with a great opponent. You know, we want to win games. It wasn't ideal, the outcome. I feel like as a team, as a defense, we went out there this week. We practiced hard on a short week after a tough loss. And then coming into this game, you know, we felt like we for sure had an opportunity to win the game. I think it was we were 3rd and 11 away from getting our offense back on the field, down by 6 for them to win the game. So our objective is to win. That's our overall goal. But I feel like with the guys we have in this locker room coming in and practicing this week, guys were ready to go.
That is Bills safety Micah Hyde, some of his comments after the game last night. One other note, Jeremy, about changes on the defense. We know about, you know, making Harrison Phillips and Trent Murphy inactive, and they were both healthy. Sean McDermott was asked about that after the game, make sure there are no injuries. They also started Cam Lewis at nickel, but he got injured early in the game and left, and Teron Johnson came back in. But Johnson had been struggling, and the Bills clearly saw that, and I don't know if they would have rotated the guys or – it was Cam Lewis's job for the night, but he did take Teron Johnson's place in terms of the starting spot for the nickel cornerback before leaving with the injury.
One maybe piece that could make you feel a little better?
I'm okay, but go ahead. I mean, I feel fine today.
Okay, well, Football Outsiders, DVOA, ranking of like offenses and defenses and all that, you know?
Yeah.
The last 4 games the Bills have played, the numbers 2, 4, 5, and 6 ranked offenses.
Yeah.
Kansas City 2, Rams 4, Tennessee 5, Las Vegas 6.
You know, it's funny, before the Rams game, I know you and I talked about the next 4 games.
Yep.
And I said, I'm good with 2-2.
Yeah, it
doesn't feel the same, though. But
right. I figured we might talk about this a little more tomorrow. Today's like, you know, day after game.
Yeah.
But quickly on that point,
yeah,
I agreed. You know, I said I'll take 2-2.
For sure, it's a tough stretch.
And that's where someone will definitely chime in and say, it's a loser mentality. And the reality is, yes, it's a mentality that you will lose games and you can still be okay. 4-2, you're fine. You know, you would have preferred to beat the Titans to the Rams for the AFC, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought this was a really tough stretch, and it was. And they got 2 good wins, and they had 2 tough losses, and 4-2 – you know, we had a caller today say it's going to be tough to make the playoffs. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. There's 7 teams in the AFC that are going to make it, right? You'd say 2 from the North for sure. Is Cleveland going to make a 3rd spot from the North? I don't think so. The West is going to get the Chiefs and 1 team. The South is getting 1. So then there's 2 spots for the AFC East.
Yeah, assuming Indy doesn't stay in the race, then the South would just get their division winner.
You know, say what you will. I'm going to have a hard time putting the Bills 3rd in the AFC East. They already beat the Dolphins once. Miami looks good. New England, I don't think, is gone. I don't know what Miami's going to do the rest of the year. Anyway, the point is, murderer's row of offense. And we last year, into this year, into the offseason, we did say, boy, you know, it's not that the schedule is necessarily tougher, but the offenses that they face this year are much tougher than anything they faced last year.
Yeah.
Like last year, some of the best offenses are the, you know, you'd worry about the Patriots because of Brady, and he wasn't even himself, and they had no weapons to really worry about. So this year, the weapons they face, the caliber of offenses they face, this week it's a break, and then New England and Seattle. And Seattle, by the way, is the number 3 ranked offense in the league. So I would anticipate a tough time that week, too.
803-0550 to join us on Bills Football Tuesday. Jeff in Erie, thanks for holding on, and you're up next. Go right ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
you actually touched on everything I was going to say. No one said anything yet. But our linebacker play, I don't know if you noticed. I don't know. It was second down and third down and one and two the entire game. But Edmonds is playing 7-8 yards off the ball. I've never seen a linebacker play 7 yards off of the ball. And then his first step is backwards. I mean, they're running, I don't know, what they run 38 times last night? Why are you stepping backwards? And then when he does make a tackle, he gets put on his back. Like, that was a concern for me. I don't even know if we had a tight end on the field. Like I said, you touched on pretty much everything. Linebacker, tight end, O-line, D-line. There's not a positive besides the kicking game.
Are you sure the kicking game's a positive?
He did miss a 52-yard field goal when they could have tied the game at halftime.
Game.
Badly, by the way. But I think it wasn't just Edmonds. I mean, he went back because that's what the defense was doing. Their first move was to drop back and take away pass plays. And
right.
That's why they ran 46 times for 245 yards, because if you cleared the four guys up front, you could run for 10-plus yards all the time. And that's exactly – that. I don't think that was an Edmonds thing. I think that was there. Everybody was backing up. Corners, safeties, linebackers. The four, they were rushing their four, and everybody was thinking, our first thought is to drop back and don't let Patrick Mahomes beat us over the top. I mean, Micah Hyde said that after the game. We didn't want to give up explosive plays. You watch tape. You watch teams play Mahomes, they get to 40 points, they go over the top on you all night. The Bills' first thought was, we're dropping back. And they played that philosophy, and that's why they gave up 245 yards rushing. I don't think that was an Edmonds thing.
The last thing I forgot to actually mention, I think the time of possession yesterday was 38-22.
Thereabouts,
unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. Hey, have a good day, guys. Let's hopefully move forward.
Appreciate the call, Jeff. Thank you. All right, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. Yeah, we got a lot of folks who want to call and or want to talk, so that's cool. Hold your spot. We got an open segment coming up next so we can get to more of your calls, and Jeremy and I will continue giving our thoughts on the loss to the Chiefs last night. It's all part of the fun of Bills Football Tuesday. 803-0550 to join us. Sal coming in at 10 with the Extra Point Show from 10 to noon. Football Tuesday on WGR, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.